Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. I'm your host and moderator, Troy Skinner. Frederick Faith Debate is designed to be an open and honest forum for our local religious leaders to share and discuss their views of the truth. In the spirit of Thomas Jefferson, who said, "The clash of ideas is the sound of freedom," we hope to seriously wrestle with important ideas, even at the risk of disagreeing with one another. The hope is that through our wrestling, we will come to a greater understanding and appreciation of each other. And more importantly, we hope that you will develop a better understanding of the truth about the most important issues that face us in this world. This week, we're going to talk about tolerance. Lots of stories in the news these days about intolerance and tolerance. For example, Duke University will allow same-sex commitment ceremonies in its famous Gothic chapel, a move cheered by some students and criticized by others. Duke is affiliated with the United Methodist Church, which prohibits same-sex ceremonies, but the school said the chapel is a university facility not tied to any particular denomination. Emory, Harvard, and Stanford universities all allow such ceremonies already. Wake Forest University allowed a lesbian couple to hold same-sex union in its chapel in September. Might have heard about this one. A jury made up of United Methodist Church clergy convicted a lesbian minister of violating church law by openly living with her partner in a committed relationship. Methodist law bars self-avowed practicing homosexuals from ministry. Before the jury returned, Irene Elizabeth Stroud, that's the pastor's name, told reporters that whatever the verdict, this case has shown how divided we are over the role of gays in the church. Stroud's supportive Philadelphia congregation has already agreed that she can continue doing her work as a lay employee without clergy status. Two leading U.S. television networks angered gay rights groups by refusing to carry an ad by a church welcoming gays to their congregations, a message the networks found too controversial. The United Church of Christ said the commercial was aimed at making gays feel included, and they were disappointed by CBS and NBC's decision to reject it. "Jesus didn't turn people away, neither do we," apparently was the message of the ad. Of course, the key issue of gay unions in the elections, I guess it was last month, right? November was last month, when millions voted against same-sex unions and backed President Bush, who made opposition to gay marriage part of his election platform. The Reverend Albert Mohler, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, says, "We are all sinners, but we cannot remain in our sin and just bless a lifestyle that says we accept it when the scriptures clearly condemn it as sin." And by it, he meant homosexuality. So here to talk about these issues, I welcome back Jonathan Schweitzer, pastor of Crossroad Valley Chapel, and Khalil El-Shazli, president of the Islamic Society of Frederick. Thank you for being with us again, both of you.
Thank you for having us.
Good to be here.
So what's the matter with all these churches and their intolerance and their hate-filled language, which, by the way, you think it's a stretch, those listening who think it's a stretch to say that. In Canada, the Bible, reading the Bible in public is, in some places, I understand, considered to be hate speech. So what's wrong with us hate-filled, God-fearing individuals?
Well, I just can't tolerate it. That's all I've got to say. I can't tolerate any of it. You know, Troy, it's interesting to me because the question simply comes down to this: what do we tolerate and what do we not tolerate? Because clearly there's some things that cannot be tolerated. You know, nobody's going to recommend that we tolerate, like, Hitler doing what he did. Or nobody's going to recommend that we tolerate somebody like a killer, a serial killer. You know, or nobody's going to tolerate Enron and their white-collar criminals or Martha Stewart getting away with insider training. I mean, clearly at some point, all of us have to draw the line. And I think it all comes down to this, Troy. If I was going to be honest, Khalil, I think the question is, what do we think is going to cause society and our relationships with one another to break down and be less than healthy? And what is not? And it seems to me that that's the point at which we begin to quit tolerating things. You know, some people think that, well, all of us think that getting away with killing your neighbor is intolerable. So we make it against the law. But come down to sex outside of marriage, when we come down to homosexual relationships, some people say homosexuality is intolerable and you just should not allow it in society. You shouldn't allow it in your religion. Other people say that it's intolerable to allow adultery outside of the marriage. You know, and then there's even some people that are going to say that I don't even tolerate you showing, you know, your wife showing too much skin in public. You know, and that's intolerable. The question is, at what point does something become unhealthy? And it seems to me like that's really the issue, is health, you know? And different ones are going to draw that line in different places. And somewhere we have to ask ourselves the question, are we destroying society by being too tolerant of too many things?
Khalil?
Well, we have to differentiate between tolerance and acceptance and what the scripture and what God asked us to do. First of all, homosexuality is condemned by God, period. It's in the scripture, it's in the Quran. The people of Lot, it's a story that we're told about in Quran, the time of Prophet Abraham, what happened to them. And
Khalil has wasted no time in saying exactly what he thinks. And I think there's a bunch of people out there that are going to claim that he's intolerant. But we'll get to that. I'm sorry. It's interesting to me that we dive right in. It's good. I like it.
So, the stories we're told to, it's not the bedtime stories that we're told in the scripture. It's for us to set an example of what to do and what not to do. Having said that, if people practice homosexuality or whatever, even though it is condemned, we can't discriminate against them. But what rights do they have to impose their ideas on us?
What frustrates me is if Christianity as a religion or Islam as a religion has clearly communicated from its scriptures that this is something that is inappropriate. Why is it that, like this lesbian minister, Methodist minister, why is it that she should claim that somehow we're being less than tolerant if she wants to try to change our religion to accept these things all of a sudden after all these years?
I mean,
who's being tolerant and who's being intolerant?
That is going to be my next point, is tolerance versus compromise.
But I always jump in too quick, don't I?
They are asking us to compromise on our religious values to accommodate their lifestyle.
Yeah.
And that is wrong. You cannot do that.
Now, John, when you were talking earlier, John Switzer from Crossroad Valley Chapel, you were saying that it's an issue of health and what's healthy, what's unhealthy for society, for us as individuals, whatever.
Yeah.
Who decides what's unhealthy? And I'm guessing, based on what Khalil just said, that, the scripture is who decides. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I would say both Khalil and I agree to this statement that the scriptures that we choose, me the Bible, him the Quran, I don't know if I say that, Quran, that for both of us, we believe very strongly that God himself has inspired those scriptures. And so therefore, I think both of us would say that God, as the creator, created us to live and to work a certain way. I like to use the toaster analogy. Mm-hmm. I don't use a toaster to heat my coffee. I'm going to get sparked. I'm going to get hurt if I try to use a toaster. I don't use the toaster to try to bang nails into the wall. A toaster was created to toast toast, and I don't put eggs in it. I don't put cornflakes in it. I put my toast in it, and when I do, funny thing, it seems to work really well. Mm-hmm. And we have a copacetic, nice, relaxed relationship. But so the point is simply this: God created us as human beings, man and woman, to be in union with one another, and a marriage would be between a man and a woman. It would be for purpose of procreation, and I believe from Scripture it would be for the purpose of sexual pleasure, that God intended for it to be a beautiful thing, and he intended all of that in a righteous relationship. He created us to be that way, and the bottom line is, from my experience, the homosexual relationships, gay relationships, they have a... I'm going to come out and say it here on public radio. See what you got me into, Troy? I blame it all on you.
It's commercial radio.
Yeah.
And let me
correct it. Is, isn't it? It's commercial radio. See, what am I thinking?
The public airwaves, but
yeah,
commercial radio.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, just it has nothing to do with what we're talking about, except that you don't put toast in the toaster. You take toast out of a toaster. You put bread in a toaster.
Yep. See, some people just have to split hairs. Here I am trying to have a conversation.
I think the question, or your question, should be, how would they practice the lifestyle and the rights will be protected under the Constitution? They could live their lifestyle as much as they want. They just don't have to shove it into our faces. My kid doesn't have to go to school and learn about homosexual and their relationship, whether they should be married or not. They chose that. This is the lifestyle that they chose. Okay, fine. Live it privately. Don't impose it on me.
In fact,
I'm not imposing my religious values on them. Then they should not impose their lifestyle and try to teach my kid that it is okay to be gay or homosexual.
Now, let me say that we did invite someone to be on the show who we anticipated would have a more inclusive tradition in their faith, and they were unable for whatever reason to make it. And so this is sounding like a lopsided, one-sided argument. So yeah. I'm going to take up as best I can.
Okay, you be the
argument of the other side.
Yeah.
Okay.
You'll be the devil's advocate.
All right.
Sorry, Khalil said that. For the record, he said it. Khalil has called Troy the devil's advocate.
Yes, I'm one of Satan's minions for a moment.
What's that growing out of your head, Troy?
So you said a second ago, Khalil, that they choose that lifestyle. Those who would argue would say that it's not a choice. You're born that way. And that script, and we've also said earlier in the show that Scripture says it's wrong, and there are those who will try to argue from Scripture saying that nowhere in the Bible, for example, does it explicitly say that. So what do we say on those two points?
It says
whether it's a choice
Quran.
And whether it's
how did this turn into a discussion only about homosexuality?
It says
is
that
it because all of your stories came out of homosexual I guess that's probably why.
Yeah,
because tolerance doesn't just apply to that. I mean, there's so many other points to that.
But we're going to move on to those.
But for now,
we're starting here.
All right. I'm with you. I'm following this. Okay. Anyways, back to your question.
What was your question?
Well, the question is to those who are going to say, well, wait a minute, you know, it's not a choice. You're born this way. So who are we to be judgmental of those who are born this way?
If God created two homosexuals to begin with, we wouldn't be here today.
So the Adam and Eve, Adam and Steve argument, right? Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Hey, you know what? I worked for about 2 months back when I first started my career out of college at as a temp. I was sent to the Central National AIDS Data Clearinghouse, and I worked there in this place that was the AIDS Clearinghouse. For if you wanted any information about anything having to do with AIDS, you would call this place, and they had, I mean, they had videos, they had articles, they had books, they had research, they had everything came in through this place, right? And as I was working, there's one thing that I noticed very consistently, that AIDS as a disease always was closely associated in its origination with gay communities. Now, there's a lot of people out there that try to say, okay, well, this is what they would say. Okay, you're just saying that it's only a disease that is attacking gay people. And I'm not saying that. I just want to make that very clear. Clearly, anybody that's having sex with somebody that's had sex with somebody that's had sex with somebody that leads back to somebody that's had gay sex, you know, it's not just something that affects homosexuals. It affects everybody that's in the sexual chain. All right? So clearly, it doesn't just affect homosexuals. It affects everybody. Except for those in a committed married relationship. And so this is the interesting thing to me. We deny that this is the case, and then we turn around and we wonder why it is that Africa or some of these other nations that are less protected sexually end up reaping the benefits. My sense is that homosexual people here in the United States are wealthy. They're well off. They're very educated across the board. They tend to be pretty hardworking individuals, and yet by their claiming that this is only a gay that this is not only a gay disease, but that it's all these other things, the poorest people around the other side of the planet that don't have protection against sex and these kinds of things end up reaping the benefit or the curse or whatever you want to call it. Did I just use that word? End up reaping the pain,
the consequences
of their choosing to deny that there's a connection between these two.
Now, I want to...
it's very unfortunate.
You're painting with a pretty broad brush. First of all...
I am.
I think that...
I definitely am.
An awful lot of people who would come from your tradition are going to agree with the sentiment of what you said. However, we have to also concede that there is intravenous drug use that causes the transmission of AIDS.
Exactly.
There's drug blood transfusions.
Yes.
There are other instances besides... So somebody in a committed marital union
could end
man
up
and woman,
absolutely
without ever having sex with anybody other than their spouse,
absolutely,
could still end up with AIDS.
Absolutely.
But you're not suggesting, are you, Mr. Schweitzer, that somebody has AIDS, it's their fault, and you know,
I am suggesting this, that God created mankind to work best like the toaster. He intended us to work best in married relationships and for kids to be raised in those kind of relationships. And when we step outside of that, whether it's through adultery, I mean, how many STDs are there out there? They're everywhere. Nobody ever talks about those. Everybody talks about AIDS, but more people percentage-wise are dying from other sexually transmitted diseases than they do from AIDS anyways. Why don't we have this major push for taking care of these other people and helping them, although they would claim that, you know, through condoms, everybody's talking safe sex. But the point is the safest sex is always found in a committed married relationship. And I would love to debate somebody on this show. I just say it again. We invite anybody from any religious, spiritual direction that would like to disagree with us on the show, because we need to debate these publicly.
And if they don't come on, what's going to end up happening is your viewpoint and other viewpoints like yours are
will
the,
be the
only viewpoint
ones
that will be represented, and we'll have an opportunity to brainwash the masses.
And know? I'd rather that not be the case, but if people are unwilling, I mean, who's intolerant in that case?
Well, a reminder, sorry. You're listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. My name is Troy Skinner. Our guests this week are John Switzer, the pastor of Cross River Valley Chapel, and Khalil El Shazli, president of the Islamic Society of Frederick. And we're talking about intolerance, and we're going to drift from the homosexual intolerance question in just a second. But before we do that,
yeah.
Those who would be critical of what's been said so far are going to accuse you of being narrow-minded, your faith is exclusive, you're wanting to ostracize those who are different from you. Those are the kinds of charges that are going to be levied against you. So is it fair? I mean, should they be ostracized? Let me ask you that. I'm from my opinion, no, they shouldn't be ostracized, but I'll let you guys speak for yourself.
Khalil, you want to go first on that? How do we handle these guys?
Well, if they want to live the life, you should just leave us alone. Why do we have to bear the consequences of AIDS and the money that we have to pay for the research? If the gay and the drug addict community pays for AIDS research and AIDS medication, fine, so be it.
But
we always bear the consequences.
What happens
because
if you
of
get
their,
AIDS?
If their lifestyle.
No,
I'm talking,
you know what I'm
God
saying?
Forbid, you know. But, you know, these are economic consequences. But On their social lifestyle, they could live in this country. They could live any way they want to. Just don't impose your views on me. Don't come to me and say, you know, we're a gay couple and we get married and we're gonna get all the benefits. Blah 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 blah. No.
Okay. See, this is part of the danger of having a society that is a lawsuit oriented society. Because if I'm fat, I'm going to sue somebody else for me ending up fat. If for some reason my marriage doesn't work out, then I'm going to sue other people for my marriage falling apart. If for some reason the environment isn't what I want it to be, then I'm going to sue somebody else. This attempt to sue everybody else in order to make my life easy, I just think the legal mentality is an intolerant mentality. I would define, in fact, intolerance as those people that use legal means to impose their views on other people. And clearly Christianity is no longer in any place allowed to even come close to being advocated by government money. But all through the school system, they're using government money, your taxes, my taxes, in order to push the homosexual agenda. They're doing the same thing to push anti-smoking. They're doing this, and I don't even like smoking. They're doing the same thing to push the whole obesity legislation. And I don't, you know, I would preach against overindulgence and gluttony as a sin. But as soon as I use the law system to impose those views on other people, then I've become intolerant. And I'm shutting down voices and I'm shutting down influence using government money to do that. And that's the point at which I think intolerance goes too far.
See, if these people, do they have jobs? Yes. Do they live comfortably? Yes.
Yeah, profoundly.
Anybody discriminating against them because of their orientation? No. If you discriminate
against, well, there's discrimination. They don't like
them. Then you could go to court. Regardless of, you know, what it is you discriminated against. But imposing their views on everybody else, that's what we're against.
Right. Well, and they would say that they're the ones having views imposed upon them. The three stories that we highlighted at the beginning of the show, let's go through those. One of those dealt with homosexual union. Duke University going to let their chapel be used for gay marriages. And it sounds pretty clear, like you guys would both say, gay marriages shouldn't happen. Yes.
Correct.
Or no?
Yes.
Right?
I agree, yes.
Other story was the United Methodist female pastor, congregational leader, I don't know if they call them pastors in the United Methodist denomination.
Pastor,
is in a committed homosexual union with a woman. She's an admitted lesbian. Should she be allowed to continue as a pastor? Yes or no?
I'll plead the fifth. I'll let John handle this.
I bet Khalil would say this if somebody in a more liberal Islamic synagogue or mosque were to move this direction. I think he would say the same thing. The point is that if Christianity clearly teaches that homosexuality is wrong, then it's clearly its leadership should not be in committed homosexual relationships.
Absolutely.
The point is that is the definition of a religious worldview. Your religion is given the authority to tell you what you should and should not be doing. It's the big should question, what you should do and shouldn't do. And so anyways, I would simply say that a lesbian Christian minister is a contradiction in terms.
Okay, but homosexuality is a sin.
According to?
The Bible.
The Bible.
Right.
And according to the Quran.
And the Quran. So it's a sin.
Does the Quran use that language, sin?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I thought it did.
Why you're saying that they shouldn't, that the pastors shouldn't, because of the sin, they're practicing it, they shouldn't then pastor a congregation.
Not publicly practicing it. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't pastors out there that sin occasionally. In fact,
that
as a pastor, I would clearly say that there are times when I do the wrong thing. The question is my attitude. Whether or not I'm arrogant about it and preach to everybody that I should be allowed to keep doing it as much as I want, or whether or not I say, you know what, I need help. I need somebody to help me to stop being this way, and I need to stop being this way as quickly as possible.
Okay, so far, gay union is unhealthy, shouldn't be recognized by society as a whole, and gay pastors, lesbian pastors, is inconsistent with the teachings of the religious traditions.
Okay, now let's talk about... And maybe this is where you're headed.
Well, the third thing is those who aren't in a leadership position but want to attend the church. You have a gay couple. They approach you, John, or they approach you, Khalil, and say, "Hey, we want to come visit your congregation and maybe maybe visit every weekend and become a part of your family of worshipers." What do you say to them?
You try to help them to go on the right path. You try to help them to repent. You try to advise them. That what they're doing is wrong, what they're doing is a sin. Being a homosexual and being in a place of worship contradicts the message of the Lord. So they have to understand that. You have to convey this message to them, and you have to try to help them to break away from that.
All right, John?
Yeah. I just got to say this again. I feel like this whole topic is such a complex topic. Especially for those that are in the lifestyle that I even hear this in Khalil's voice as he shares it. It's not something where you can just look him in the eye and simply say stop. There's a process that they've got to go through in terms of dealing with different things. And it's crazy, but I'm saying it, aren't I? I think that for any Christian that has accepted Christ and chosen Christ to be their Lord and Savior, that if they want that commitment to have integrity, then they would have to deal with all those things that cause them to sin and cause them to live contrary to the clear teaching of Scripture. And homosexuality being one of those things, I would say that is one of those areas that they would have to take the time to think through. And I've heard plenty of testimonies of people that have come out of the homosexual lifestyle with major success and even gone back and identified what it is in their past that even caused them to go down that road. In fact, why is it in the homosexual world that it's just an ongoing joke? Everybody knows it, that their relationship with their parents is not phenomenal, and that either their father or either their mother or somewhere along the way that there was just major brokenness and hurt and pain. Now, I'm not saying they're the only ones, that homosexuals are the only ones out there with that kind of pain. I'm just saying that there's a pattern there that I think that they can find peace in their heart for why it is that those things were the way that they were and resolution to these issues that have chased them their whole life, you know. And I think there's a measure of denial that at some point I think they're going to come to realize that they'd like peace instead of just the pleasure, and I think they're chasing the pleasure at some level right now.
Well, we're going to let that be the last word for this episode. We're going to pick up the tolerance question, and we're going to steer away in next week's show from focusing exclusively on homosexuality. But we did that this week for a reason. That is the centerpiece of the tolerance issue right now in today's modern American society. So we wanted to tackle that head on, and I really wish somebody who could speak to that view better than I could represent the other side, but maybe we'll be able to do that in a future show.
Yeah.
Thank you again for listening to this week's edition of the Frederick Faith Debate. I'll be back again next week to talk about tolerance again and actually talk about tolerance's role on and effect on the religious holiday of Christmas and everything that happens during this holiday festive season. That's next time on Frederick Faith Debate on WFMD.